Welcome to the Inner and Outer Game Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Mr. Fox Beyer. Fox, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. The early was a day-to-day struggle. It went from bad to worse, and the pain doubled. Never far from imminent danger, from the tough and the unforgiving, I was no stranger. Closure to me seemed impossible. With toughness, I had that, and it was plentiful. Every day, I gave it a game-faced salutation. I said, hello, tough times. Here's a pit stop to a happy life, because what's Victory Highway without some struggle and strife? Hello, all. My name is Fox Beyer, teacher, author, speaker, coach. I want to talk to you a little bit today about inner grit equaling outer game, and I will do that through a story about part but not all of my life infused with some poetry from my book. So here we go. As first period begins, I greet my students. And as I look at them, I think how much I want to trade my age for theirs. With one stipulation, I would not want to be as dumb as I was when I was their age. I can recall sophomore year of high school, excusing myself to use the quote-unquote bathroom from Mrs. Brockett's history class. I used that time to go out in the hallway, go to my friend Aaron's locker, and turn the dial 7, 17, 24, and steal $7 out of his wallet just so I could have lunch from the school cafeteria. Retrospect, it always tells the truth. Retrospect, now I see clearly my youth. Retrospect, I was young and I was dumb. Retrospect, or just a kid having fun. Retrospect, dear God, why did I wear that hat? In retrospect, why did I get angry over that? Retrospect, Mom and Dad, this place, I'm sick of it. Retrospect, Mom and Dad, you're right, because now I miss it. Retrospect, I was always looking for something more. Retrospect, now it's the time and the place that I most adore. Retrospect, time goes by way too fast. Retrospect, I am so glad to still have a past. Class begins, and I am a grammarian at heart. It's all about verbs and adverbs, direct object pronouns, indirect object pronouns. But I know it doesn't work for everybody, and right now it's not working for anybody. We have all been sucked into this technology revolution in class, including me. Let me ask you this. What good does it do if you Snapchat in class for the 143rd day in a row, but because of that you have no idea your classmate's name in front of you, behind you, to your left, or to your right? Cell phones, tablets, and notebooks took the world so forcefully it shook. And with all these new technologies to the world, were born more bad apologies. You see, Wi-Fi can connect and tie, but it so too began the Great Divide. Social media looks like a brilliant disguise, but anybody with a soul can read between the lines. Cell phones, tablets, and notebooks took the world so forcefully it shook. With all these new technologies to the world in class, were born more pet apologies. I step back in the aisle and I fall on a piece of paper, this time on my back. I look at it. It's today's assignment. It's blank and it was due 15 minutes ago. I want to scream, but I have to show my character. So I get up, and I get up slowly, and I get up for those that can't. Next thing I know, the bell rings. It's the end of third period, and I have to step out to use the men's restroom. As I walk out of the class, I'm exhausted, and I pick my feet up just high enough up off the ground, not to trip and fall flat on my face. I pass one of my colleagues in the hallway. He says, Fox, how are you doing? Good? You know what? In my best moment, I thought I'd never been all right. So it made sense to me when I said, yeah, I'm doing great. I enter the men's restroom. And the men's restroom at Liberty Park High School in New Jersey, to me, looks just like the men's locker room at John A. Holmes High School in Edenton, North Carolina, where in the year 2000, I was a coach for my friend Stuart Lake and the Edenton Steamers, a collegiate team in the Coastal Plain League. There, I led the league in one category and one category alone that season. There, I got in full uniform quicker and earlier than anybody in the league on any given day. I can recall a game that we had in Durham, North Carolina one day. Durham is 5 hours from Edenton. And to make a 7 o'clock game, our bus left the John A. Holmes parking lot at 10:30 in the morning. And you can be sure I was in full uniform. As I stepped on the bus and walked past my friend Stuart, the head coach, he said, "Huh, there goes Fuff. Fuff, full uniform Fox, an acronym, F period, U period, F period." I look at myself in the mirror and I am amazed at the disconnect between my body and my mind. You see, me, Fox Byer, all I want to do is stand up straight, but my body, all it wants to do is go fetal. A little drag, a chance, will I adapt, advance? This present tense makes no sense. But out there, there has to be an answer. The next thing I know, the bell rings, and it's the end of fourth period, and it's time for lunch. And while I would love to have lunch in my room, it's far too hot in there. So I take my lunch, cottage cheese and a Clif Bar, down the hallway into a cafeteria lunch room where nobody sits. And again, I pick my feet up, just high enough, up off the ground, not trip and fall flat on my face. On the edge of catastrophe, a one-time, everyday calamity, God bless my friends and my family, but my gait, a kid with CP, just does not want to work. Somehow, in some way, I make it to the cafeteria with no problems, and I stare at the food in the cafeteria lunch line. Chicken fingers, French fries, chocolate chip cookies, and macaroni and cheese. And then I look at my lunch again, the lunch that I brought, cottage cheese with a Clif Bar. And I think of all the advantages of having spastic cerebral palsy. While my body is spasming all day and stiff from the spasms, I burn calories through these spasms, and throughout my life, I've kept a healthy weight, even if most of it, I've been on a terrible diet. So this skinny fat dude looks at his lunch, cottage cheese and a Clif Bar, throws it away, and goes for the comfort in the cafeteria lunch line. My stomach is a bottomless pit. Sure, I'll eat that. I don't care about it. Hi, I'm a skinny fat dude. And I can eat more than a horse and throw peanut butter on pizza without remorse. Hi, I'm a skinny fat dude. In spite of all this food and sometimes beer, I turn sideways and I disappear. Hi, I'm a skinny fat dude. But then I lift my shirt and I am attacked by the empty side of my one pack. Hi, I'm a skinny fat dude. And my muscles, they're like wet newspaper. So when I flex, all the girls say is, "See you later." Hi, I'm a skinny fat dude. This skinny fat dude sits down in the cafeteria lunchroom with a man named John. John, one of our custodians in the school, tells me that this very next day he's going in for heart surgery, his third in his 58-year life. A note to me that we can buy a lot of things in this life, but our most valuable commodity, something we can't buy, is time. Lunch is over. And I have finished my cafeteria gut bomb. Again, I pick my feet up, being so tired, just high enough, up off the ground, not to trip and fall flat on my face. I'm walking in the middle of the hallway, and I'm being passed by people on my left and on my right. I'm slapped in the rear end by a colleague, and he says, "Hey, Magellan, get out of the middle of the road. And by the way, go the speed limit." Huh. the phrase speed limit. It jogs my memory back to when I was a freshman at the University of South Carolina. It's a Monday morning. I'm excited. I get up. I walk to the Black P Center and lift weights. I shower there, walk up to Russell House cafeteria to have breakfast. After I have breakfast, I go to 4 straight 1-hour classes. I get on the shuttlecock and go back to Sarge Frye Field, where I begin to set up for fall baseball batting practice. By this point, during the day, about 1:30 p.m., I am exhausted. Even as a 19-year-old kid, Coach Tanner knew me, and he knew how to push all of my buttons. He looked at me in my saggy eyes this day, and he said, "Hey, Stumpy, I bet you can't throw the speed limit." So in a huff, I grabbed one of our assistant coaches, and I threw to him off the mound. And for the record, people, I did throw the speed limit. If, of course, the speed limit is 55 miles an hour. The next thing I know, I'm back in my classroom again. A 37-year-old man, phone power 16%, iPad power 12%, computer power 25%. I am an absolute mess, but then I recall what good friend Robert Andino told me while in the batting cage a few short years ago. He said, "We all have screws loose. We've all felt lower than low. We just can't keep the mind shift off the word go. Our elevators might not go to the top floor. When we're finished, all we want is more. We've all been neck deep in alligators when they're right in front of us. There sits the elevator. We all have screws loose. Not a few, not many, but all. Because if we didn't, we wouldn't be normal." The next thing I know, it's 8th period. And the number 8 rings in my head. 8, 4 less than my sister's number while playing softball in college. 8, 4 less than my brother's, older brother's number while playing baseball in high school, and 5 less than my younger brother's number in high school. 1 less than Bordeaux, Ryan Bordenick's number. Ryan Bordenick was our catcher at the University of South Carolina my freshman year when I was the team's manager. As the team's manager, when we were in the field and there was nobody on base, I used to pray that we would give up a ground ball to third base, because that meant that Bordeaux, Ryan Bordenick, would go run and back up first base, losing his mask and skullcap in the process. I would run out and pick it up for him. I love to run. I look back at the clock. The bottom line is, my freshman year at the University of South Carolina was 20 years ago. Thinking back to what Karen Tanner told me, life is short, but the days are long. It takes and it teaches. We see it tick away from the bleachers. It passes and amasses, as seen by the lines on my face. On clocks and on watches, the same amount each day allotted. We are late and we are early and we are hurried by the ever-present hands never replaced. As a young buck, I saw my future clear with visions of grandeur, oh dear. From penthouse to outhouse, all mine. I was just lied to by time. Once again, I look at the clock. It's 8th period and time is going by so slowly. And I know my students are looking at it and thinking the exact same thing. I look to my right. I pick up my right arm and I see a sweat stain on my right armpit. I know that under all of those clothes and under that stain is a scar in the shape of an X, where upon my birth in October of 1978, a chest tube was inserted into me because upon my birth, my lungs collapsed, and at that time, I could not breathe on my own. I think of Willie. Willie was my roommate in Children's Specialized Hospital in 1990. You see, at 15 years old, for a reason totally undiagnosed and totally unexpected, of course, Willie stopped breathing. So in those days, Willie lied in front of me, unable to breathe on his own, with a respirator inserted in him right under his right armpit, just like the one that I had. Willie would always speak to me with a smile from ear to ear on his face, no matter if he could breathe on his own or not. A short while after we were roommates, Willie passed away. The bell rings. I look up, and I think of Willie. And once again, I know we can buy a lot of things in this life, but again, we can't buy time. Even though the school day is over, my work is far from done. I stare straight ahead at my class, and I see pens, pencils, papers, and scattered desks all over the place. And I close my eyes as I begin to clean my classroom, and I picture it spotless. There is nothing that frees my mind more, without a doubt, than going through my classroom and throwing things out. Mondays through Fridays, I am freed from material prison as I throw pens, pencils, and papers in their respective bins. I walk along the hallways, and profanity I mutter because I picture my classroom and its endless clutter. But then I look to my left and I smile because I see an accounting class with paper neatly piled. I submitted my Christmas list to Mom, and she said, "Fox, you need a football like you need a hole in the head." Looking back at my life, if doing it again, I'd wake up, I'd suit up, and I'd be a garbage man. A pack rat or a hoarder, I'm not. To be a teacher, zero adds up to a lot. I close and lock the door to my classroom. And I begin to exit the school when I am tapped on the shoulder by a student who is one of the reasons why I'm still a teacher. She looks at me and says, "Hey, Prof, I read your book in the library. I liked it. I think I'm going to buy it." Once again, just when I've lost all hope, I look into the eyes of someone who is the reason I'm still a teacher. I can picture myself, sophomore year of high school, with my head down on my desk in study skills class, completely exhausted. I hear a knock at the door and look up. It's Mr. Ranger, my language arts teacher, looking at me and giving me a thumbs up, just making sure that I'm okay. I walk out into the parking lot, as luck would have it, this 38-year-old guy with CP has a little tumble. As I get up, a colleague sees this, rolls down her window to her car and says, "Young man, are you okay?" I think to myself, I've never been all right, but I'm going to give every single day my best. I get into my car. I begin to drive. I make a left-hand turn onto I-287 southbound. I think about all the small freedoms I have been able to enjoy throughout my life. And then I think about all the times when I haven't been able to enjoy those freedoms. I picture myself 12 years old, lying at home in a cast from the waist down. And that night, I made a pact with myself. I am no longer going to have people carry me to the bathroom. Because people all this time have been doing things for me. When I have a runny nose, they get me a tissue. If I have an itch on my foot, they have to scratch it because I can't. So what do? I turn myself so I'm crossing over the bed, not lying with it. I crawl myself onto the floor, clank, and army crawl into the bathroom, where I prop myself up onto the commode, or up using the commode, hold on to dear life, and then freedom. I think of my students and how their freedoms are threatened every day by students who don't feel good about themselves. They're called bullies. Let me say this. It's not hard to bully somebody. Just take something different about them and dwell on it. Well, we're all different, so. Bullies. You have no right to make others feel insecure because you are. To the bullies, to the bullied, you are under no obligation to be your friends. But you both have a right to get help. Why? Because I do. Even if tough times last, tough people, they last longer. And as you go down that mobile-ridden path, let your faith grow stronger. If you fall off the horse, get up and get back on the saddle. Victory Highway is not smooth sailing, for that road is a constant uphill battle. Even if positive thoughts don't work, negative thoughts, they'll kill you. Keep your mind and your body and your soul on high alert. You'll never know the height you'll take yourself to. So keep one hand on the wheel and one foot on the gas, people. These struggles you'll face, they are real, but you could tell them to kiss your ass. Again, my name's Fox Beyer, and that was my story of inner grit equaling outer game. I have a book out called Letter Kindling, Igniting, Inspiring, and Invoking the Fire Within. If you enjoy what you heard and you like a copy of the book, please go on to my website, foxbeyer.com, FOXBEYER.com. Email me off there. Introduce yourself. I would be glad to send you a free copy of my book. Additionally, if you feel like my words in person could help you or your organization, please, again, email me off my website, foxbeyer.com, FOXBEYER.com. Tell me as much, and we can get something started. Thank you so much. Thank you, Tanya, for the opportunity. And Tanya, back to you.